Page Gex, mobile.
Doggone, you guys are up. This was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was surprised to even hear people, but anyway, I asked myself, what y'all doing up so early? And they said, well, we couldn't sleep. I said, well, that's exactly why I'm here. I just came down and turned the radio because I couldn't sleep. And he said, well, welcome to the Can't Sleep Net. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, this is where everybody goes that can't sleep. We got a couple of them that went back to bed. They're going to try to get some sleep, but they'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, they generally do that. And yeah, they'll be on 39:15 or 39:40 or, you know, if they'll be surprised how many of them out there in the middle of the morning, you know, like I say, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they can't sleep. And they'll find, get a little group going.
Meaning that was regular for them. They said they called out the names, so-and-so's. He'll be back in a few minutes. He thinks he's going to go to sleep, but he won't. And a lot of them, they were talking about, they only sleep an hour at a time, and they get up for a little while, go back to sleep for an hour, and that's how they sleep.
Yeah, I kind of think of them as the insomnia group. Kick it back over to Patrick. He might be having to get out in a little bit.
Close. But, yeah, that just goes to show that when you think you're the only one, you're not. So there's always somebody else out there going through the same thing you're going through. But, guys, I'm getting ready to get out. So I'll say 7-3 right here, and I'll catch you when I get back out of the – in the tool truck.
I'll catch you a little later. Back over to you, dude.
That cold tool truck, you're going to freeze in there for a few minutes. Take your time, but hurry it up. We'll catch you in a little bit. I wasn't aware that there are people that do that, you know, that just can't sleep. They can't sleep any more than an hour or so at a time.
I get up so early. I go to bed pretty early, especially in the winter time. About an hour or two after it gets dark. I don't know if you played with Facebook much, but there's something on there somebody's got that feel like it's 10:30 and look at the clock. Turns out it's 6 o'clock. Well, by 7 o'clock, I feel like it's midnight. So I hit the bed, and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I've done had enough rest to suit me, so I just go ahead and get up and start my day. Just mostly waiting on the sun to come up to do whatever I want to do outside. And pretty much all this week, I'm committed to going to seeing doctors and having blood tests done, all that kind of junk. And a friend of mine, I'm going to get together with him Tuesday. We usually go hang out in Anderson for a little while and then go do lunch somewhere. And then he'll head back up to into Greenville where he lives. Kind of got to doing it as a weekly tradition when I was his deacon at church. So got something of a routine for this coming week anyway.
Last night, I went to bed about 12, and didn't even think, you know, I just get up when I get up, but I woke up about 3:30, right in there somewhere, and I laid there a few minutes, and I realized I was wide awake, and I said, well, I'm just going to get up and see what happens from there. If I feel sleepy, I'll go back to bed, but, you know, I cleaned myself up and all that junk, and then I came down here in the shop, and that's where I got the radio, this little 2 meter, but I said, well, I'm wide awake, and I won't take a nap or anything. I'll just stay going till tonight when I get sleepy, which will probably be around 10 or 10:30, somewhere in there maybe. I've learned to just get up, heck with it. You know, there's no need to lay there and fight it. Then for AZ.
Dude, I don't want to sound critical or anything, but you might want to know with your radio setup, it kind of sounds a little bit like your radio's pulling more through the power supply than the power supply can handle. It's not a real, real bad sound, but it sounds like it's kind of, you know, kind of straining a little bit, if you know, you know what I'm saying.
The power down on, does that make any kind of difference?
No, that must not have been what it was. It's still kind of there. When Patrick gets back in, we'll see if he's hearing it. It could be on my end, or it could be my hearing. My hearing's gotten kind of bad over the last few months, so, you know, it may not be nothing there at all.
Well, I went to low a minute ago. This is 65 watts. What's that do?
Definitely made it worse. It made it a lot worse. Have you got a 5-watt setting?
I don't know what the watts is. I guess I don't know if it's 5 or 10, what the low is on this radio.
Sounds a whole lot better to me. What's the amperage on your power supply?
I ordered this thing. Let's see. I'm thinking it's around 15 amps. And that should be plenty for... You know, that should be some overkill. Of course, it's a switcher, so it's not the best power supply. But what is it doing, just a dead key without talking, to see if it does any weird noise to you?
It does seem to have a little bit of noise in there. My hearing ain't the best in the world. There's a guy that checks in on the net right regular. Larry, I think's his name, and his sounds, it's got, to me, his has got a little noise in it, but nobody's ever said anything, so I don't know. To me, it sounds a whole lot better on low power than on 65. So. I think it, you know, it might be a really slight power supply issue.
For when it's dragging a little on a power supply, it's not a hum, it's just a weird sound.
Anyway, it sounds... sounding great now, I think. Patrick might have switched vehicle by now. You out there, Patrick?
Be mobile.
That's another one of the guys, KF4NXY.
I can definitely hear a 60 hertz hum. I think you might have a ground loop.
What if this coil guy? I've just got a this coax run out and a mag mount on the roof of the house or the building here, so it might be a squirrel might have got a hold of me.
60 hertz since you're in a car, but it's definitely a low frequency. There's some kind of low frequency hum going on in there, so I don't know. Could be a lot of things.
How's it going? Y'all go ahead a minute. I'm going to run out and kind of take a look, see what's going on here. Check my connections and all. N4AZE.
Breakfast stop here too, so I'll be back in a few minutes, but W2JKT.
Connections, Dave, is that any different?
Sir, not really. It's still got, a little bit of that sound in it, but like you were speculating, it could be, having, a mag mount antenna on the roof, but I don't know. I've got that set up outside on a couple of things, and I haven't had anybody say anything about, the sound. I did one time months and months ago, they were telling me that I had, it sounded like the power supply was going bad, and I replaced the power supply. But I don't think that's what's going on with yours. I can't put my finger on it. I think that might have been Ken that was in there. He might have, could give you some more ideas, but I think he was something else.
KQ4 WQM, can I get a radio check, please?
Sound good here. Full quieting. Audio is good and clear. N4AZE, this is Dude.
Roger, roger. I appreciate it. Yeah, I was just checking the radio here. 73 to you. This is KQ4 WQM. I'll be clear.
Sound good. N4AZE.
Kind of fine that time, Dude. I didn't detect any anomaly going on.
I cored out and plugged it back in. Is it still okay?
Who knows, maybe a little dirt or something got in there. It was kind of interfering with it a little bit. I've done that with other stuff. I've took something apart and put it back together, and they go to working.
Things that fix themselves.
Sometimes it's a big blessing because it keeps me from having to put it in the shop.
Let me pull this thing out again and kind of wipe it off good, and I'll be right back in 4AZ80.
I think probably to me, when I noticed the biggest difference was when you went from 65 watts to low power. On 65 watts, it seemed to be putting a strain on it. And it could have been a little bit, I don't know, have you checked the standing wave on that setup?
If I put it on top of the building, the standing wave would be just right for it. So, yeah, I hadn't been doing this. Nobody said anything about it. Is it still doing okay now?
It's still sounding pretty good. There's just a touch of that sound in it. But like I say, it sounds so much better on low than it does on high power.
Now, I don't know what that is. That might be, I don't know if that's, if low's 5 and mid is 10, I don't know.
It's the way I'm on a little Yaesu mobile, and I think that's the way it's set up. It's got low, mid, and high, and I don't recall if the mid is 10 or 25 watts or what, but about the only time I really take it off low is if I'm on Simplex.
Low, then it's got low mid, then it's got mid, and then it's got nothing. If it's nothing, it's high. And I'm on low mid, so that must be around 10 watts.
Audio sings a little stronger there, and it, you know, it doesn't, you know, it sounds good. You know, it don't sound, you know, any different than on low. But when you had it on high a while ago, it didn't sound good at all. It definitely sounded like there was some kind of power supply issue going on.
Again, I'll come back to you on high, see if it does anything. Better.
Had a bad squeal in it. bad squeal.
It's something to do with power supply, Dave.
It could be. Patrick, you in there yet?
For HKX, it's more likely the fan running on the radio.
Yeah, now that makes sense. That does make sense. That could very well be what it is.
The fan. I don't know anything about these radios, guys.
Got an internal fan, and this little Yaesu mobile I'm on's got an external fan on the back of it, and you know, if I key it up for a while, it kicks in.
Kenwood, I'm on. It's got a heat sink and a fan on it, and I'm pretty sure that ICOM you're on's got a little fan on the back of it. If I got it correct there. So that's probably what you're hearing.
Thinking, well, I'm going to have to order another power supply. But, yeah, it may have a fan. It does have a heat sink on the back of it. I felt it. It's just barely warm. I mean, it's not even bath water warm.
Enough of a noise or sound there to be ordering a new power supply. I wouldn't do that. You know, I just, you know, keep on, you know, using it the way you're using it. The only thing is, you know, when you had it on very high power, do that again and let Patrick hear that.
Yeah, it's got that oscillating noise in it, and it could be a fan or it could be the power supply. I don't know. I don't know that radio if it has a fan for sure, but that'd be the first thing I look at.
Yeah, I've got a jumper box I can use. It's got the lithium battery in it. It's a 2,000 amp thing. So it'll crank a diesel truck. So I'll get that. I'll try that after a while, see if that, if just the battery itself, that'll tell if it's a power supply or not.
Yeah, after daylight, we'll check that out, and I'll let you know if it fixes it.
On as long a conversation as you've been on this morning, see, you've got that radio warmed up, because we've been on here 45 minutes now, so that you got to watch that.
That's what I'll do. I'll get the jumper box. I think I've got it in Vicky's car because they had to jump my youngest brat's car off the other day, so she took it that I keep in the truck. But yeah, I can hook it up. It'll run his radio all day long. It's pretty good size for a little small one, even though it does fit in the glove box.
It's amazing what they can do with one of those little jump boxes.
It's a Norco GB 70 or 170, I forget anyway. It'll crank a diesel. I know that. It'll take you can crank a car without a battery in it. And it, I got all the kids one for Christmas last year when I found out how good these things worked.
Those Noco products are pretty good products. I carry the 150 with me.
They go in the glove box and in the center console, but it's pretty big, isn't it?
70 is pretty good size and small enough to fit in the glove box. The GB150, you ain't getting it in the glove box.
70s then, because It's it'll go in the not the glove box. It'll go in the console in the middle. It's I got a pretty big console in this truck, but you may be right. It may be a 70. I think it said it'll crank a 0.8 diesel.
Like the 70. So they're a really good product. Not had any major complaints out of them. So I recommend them.
Like if you want to, it's got a sensor. It's got to sense the voltage, but you can bypass it with that one button. Hold it in, and then it'll bypass, and it'll be a live jumper box.
Hey, would you come teach these guys I sell them to how to use them? Because they're not smart enough to figure that out. That you have to use the override on it.
Yeah, they're trying to hook it up to a dead battery then, aren't they?
Exactly. And it's amazing how many times I had to go back in and teach them how to use a jump box because they won't read the simple instructions.
B-Mobile. B-Mobile. B-Mobile.
14AZE.
By the KF4NXY.
Morning. Hey. Andrew and Leon, KO4HKX.
Everybody, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving.
There. The Goblin.
5 South from my breakfast stop, and dude, I was thinking it could also be, if you could just try it with the engine off, could be alternator noise.
It's a mobile rig, but I'm on a power station. It's in my shop, and I've just got a coax running out the door, you know, to the roof, to a mag mount. That's what it was, but I'll figure. I'm going to try a battery later on today and see if that'll tell me what's good, whether it's power supply or not.
Mom, I heard earlier is gone. It's some different kind of noise now.
Back down.
Mid-low. I don't know what. I guess that's 10 watts. It's a 2300H ICOM. It's probably some kind of user problem, either with the power supply or some the coax or even the mag mount. I've heard some squirrels on the roof of this building, and I'm hoping they hadn't fooled with my antenna. Maybe month and a couple of weeks at the most. But I got it off of Amazon, if that tells you anything. It's a 15 water. That should be well sufficient.
Output, you know, that's kind of where I'm leaning. And it might be as simple as just putting a big capacitor on the output of the power supply. It might just not have enough for, you know, driving an RF load. But, you know, check it out with the battery and make sure it goes away first, and then we can start talking about, you know, how to fix up the power supply.
Yep.
Bypass the noise around the radio just to, you know, smooth it out a little bit.
Yeah, she could have ripple in. I don't know. It, like I say, this power supply wasn't, but I don't think it was $50 or $55, something like that.
That is right now.
Y'all go ahead and talk. I'm going to see if let me see what I can do. I may come up with a little battery idea right here. Y'all go ahead. N4AZE.
Got to find a battery at 5:30 in the morning.
The arm's reach of a battery.
Got one right in front of me.
Right now. And my car is 65 kilowatt hours. Miles out of it.
1,375 on this one.
80%, but last night I let it get to full because I knew I'd be burning some heater on the way into the office this morning.
Got the grace in it all?
Just, you know, ever since I bought the car, I've been kind of, you know, I don't charge it past 80% very much, but, yeah, I mean, I still get a full range out of it. I haven't noticed any lack of range on the indicator anyway. Something they do on these, they find that the battery is going to outlast the vehicle. So that's good to hear, especially, you know, if you don't charge it 100% all the time.
You never want it to outlast.
I know originally, you know, they thought they'd be changing out batteries. Not frequently, but, you know, frequently enough.
Spent a mile in a savings account, you know, banking on having to replace the battery at around 100,000 miles, but I'm at 67,000 miles now, and I haven't noticed any degradation at all.
Keep that one long enough to put 100,000 miles on it?
Another year.
We're looking at buying a new one already.
Was going to get a new one and then pass this one to Tommy when he gets his license later this year, but he doesn't want to drive an EV to school because it isn't cool. All the cool kids at his school drive big-ass diesel trucks, you know, so it's, he's not going to fit in with his cohort if he shows up in an EV.
The big diesel trucks are the cool thing now. I've had mine for longer than that, so I don't worry about it.
It's tolerable the other way for now, isn't it?
The other way for now, but yeah, he's right about the Amazon thing. He might have to Google Amazon customer service because they don't want to talk to people, but that's what I do. I give them a call and say, hey, I need to send this thing back to you.
Yeah, so I think what I'll do, I'll go ahead and order me a good one, not a switcher. I'll in it and then figure this one out. All right, I'm going to switch back. N4AZE.
4NXY.
It'd be a good design. It's not going to hum like that under load.
Some of y'all doubled, but I think the comment was you need more amps also, so and that comment was correct.
You know, there's nothing inherently wrong with a switching power supply as long as it's a good design. And, you know having overhead on load capability is also a plus usually. So I also hang a battery off the power supply in parallel. So, you know, power goes out, the battery will run. But a battery can also help provide additional load if the power supply can't. So if the power supply goes in overcurrent and shuts down, then the battery will keep everything going.
What I've always done over the years is I've always, you know, got one that had more amps, you know, like I've always gotten 30 amp power supplies when the most I've ever really needed has been 20 amp and you know, like you say, a good switching power supply. I had a Pyramid one time that didn't last very long, didn't do very well, so I don't buy them anymore. Anyway, I'll pick it up, KF4NXY.
I'm AZ.
Sure that I bought back in 2001 or 2002, and I had to replace the cooling fan in it, you know, drill out the rivets and do that, and I replaced the output capacitors in it. But I've gotten, you know, 25 years almost out of that switcher, and it's doing just fine.
AZ, I'm going to get I've always had good luck with these Astrons.
Best switcher I ever bought failed after about a year, so I got a little 18 amp. I was using it to run a 50 watt, you know, mobile VHF radio, and it gave up the ghost after a while. So I pitched it, and still using my Diamond and batteries and all kinds of other stuff. I think I also have like I forget the brand of it, but it's a 30 amp at home, and that's on my standby.
I think I'll get the 35. Astron, it'll be some overkill, but I've got a PR-70 in the shack that I don't really need all of that. I was planning on taking it to the beach where I can run I've got a radio set up down there too, but I've got a mobile amp that I picked up, but I'm going to need a good power supply for it. So I'll get a 35 for here, and that way I can do that deal. N4AZE.
Yeah, do you run any solar at home or just a battery and power supply?
No solar. We checked into that and they wouldn't do it. I was going to get solar put all over the roof of my building and they wouldn't do it.
If you're going to do a grid-tied solar system, they have a lot more codes that they have to follow. But I was just talking about, I've got a couple of panels at home that I can use, to supplement if I really need to. But, it's fun to go out and do mobile stuff with, solar and battery.
I thought you were going, okay. No, I haven't done that either. That's a thought. I hadn't even thought about that. The roof of my building is big. I was going to talk to him about just covering the whole roof with solar panels and actually go solar, but they won't do it on a metal building.
I'm worried about the chances of shorts or something if squirrels go up there and chew some cables or whatever and land on a metal roof. Yeah, it's not good, I guess.
No, we won't do it on. We can do it on your head. Well, the roof, the way I've got this situated here, it sees plenty of sunshine. But where the house, how it's situated, to put it on the roof of the house, it's only going to get part of it. You're not going to get full effect.
WTJKT. Our roof has a fantastic southern view with no trees, obstructions, or anything. But I don't want to put solar on the roof because that makes roof maintenance a pain. You have to pull the solar panels down anytime you have to do anything to the roof. So I've got an area in the backyard that also gets really good sun. I thought about just building some racks back there and just having maybe a couple thousand watts off-grid solar just feeding into my shack and, a battery bank that can run some things.
The house, too, the roof on the house, I didn't like that idea either. But the building didn't bother me. But I'm glad now because I do have squirrels. I can hear them occasionally get up on the roof. To the answer is no, I don't do any solar, but like I said, I hadn't even thought about doing that.
For a song anymore, so it's good. It's good. You can get a 300 something watt panel for a little over $100 on Facebook Marketplace.
Three
batteries. So I build lithium iron phosphate batteries from scratch, and I've got one that's like 500 amp hours. I've got one that's 400 amp hours. I've got several that are 200 or 100, depending on what I build. But all in all, I've got a couple thousand amp hours of lithium at home, just sitting around.
Batteries, then.
I have power supplies that I can run off tool batteries too, and I've got tons of those. So if the apocalypse happens, I'll at least have batteries for a while.
I wound up with the DeWalt. The 20 volt stuff, the hand tools.
Adobe stuff because I work for them, but I took a battery charger and I gutted the electronics and stuck in one of those DC to DC converters off of Amazon that'll do 30 amps. So I can plug in our 40 volt 40 volt outdoor battery and get 13.8 out of 30 amps for radio, and that works fantastically. I've got a whole bunch of the big 12 amp hour 40 volt batteries at home.
Batteries. They wouldn't do this radio, but this, I've hadn't in a while, but I used to mess with those radio-controlled airplanes, and I tried some electric ones, and they've got the little polymers, the little lithium polymer batteries they run on them.
One of your 20-volt DeWalt batteries will happily run a 20-amp HF radio if you just have a big enough DC to DC converter in it. And deliver somewhere between, I think a DeWalt will cut out about a 20-amp radio at 13.8 will only be drawing about 15 amps from the battery. So, the battery may not last long depending on the amp-hour rating on it, but if you had one of the bigger, like, 6-amp-hour batteries, you could run an HF 100-watt radio for a little while on that.
Some of the 6-amp-hour batteries, they're, for, like, the impact and things like that.
Many watt hours, so you could receive for quite a while and then transmit a bunch too. So you get some mileage out of that.
KO4HX.
4AZE.
Dude, that's what I run during the storm. As I had running on Milwaukee batteries there for a while.
How long would it? I know just receiving, but when you transmit it, what would you guess?
The 12 amp hour battery, I was getting a couple hours out of it during and using it like I was during the storm. So, really couldn't complain at all about them.
Like a battery, that's one thing about the ham radio. If everything goes down, we still can communicate.
was using, like I said, I had some 5 amp hour, 8 and 9 amp hour, and then the 12 amp hour. So I use those quite a bit.
I don't know, were they 1,000 charges or something, and then you're on borrowed time or something like that? Is that right?
More recent chargers will tell you when they get to 80%, so you can pull the battery off and stop it from charging. But if you only charge it to 80% and then only discharge it down to like 20%, they'll last practically forever. We've done some cycle life testing on ours, and I've seen batteries that have come off of like 800 charge discharge cycles from all the way full to all the way dead, and they still have, you know, 80-90% of their original capacity. So you know, the cycle life of lithium isn't as big of a problem as it used to be.
Rule of thumb, it's been a while, but it was like once you hit 1,000 charges, you're on borrowed time.
If you get to 100% every time, then yeah, that's probably reasonable.
You've got your money's worth out of it. They're lithium ions, aren't they? That's what's in these hand tools.
Yeah, most of them.
They mess with their polymers. You can you have to be careful with them. I dropped one, a small one. It wasn't big at all. It was I want to think it was I don't know, maybe about 2 inches square. But anyway, I dropped it and picked it up, put it on the table, and you know, you see something out the corner of your eye, you think, did something move? And I glanced over at that little battery, and it was swelling a little bit, and it actually swole up, and I looked, I watched, I saw it move, and I said, oh, crap. And it started getting you can see a little smoke coming, so I grabbed it and set it on the concrete floor. And that little thing, it caught on fire. It lit itself up.
Lithium battery can get into a thermal runaway situation like that. When you dropped it, you probably caused some kind of internal short circuit on one of the cells. And, you know, any lithium can do that, but the tool batteries mostly use the steel cylindrical cells, and they actually have a current interrupt device in them that when it detects the pressure rising in the cell, it'll cut the cell out of the circuit and stop the current. So it's a safety mechanism that's in the cylindrical cells. So that's why you seldom, you know, see tool batteries burn up. I mean, it does happen, but, you know, it doesn't happen nearly as often as with those lithium polymer pouch cells that are not well protected and don't have any kind of protection circuitry in them.
When it was the little wafers, you know, they weren't cells, cylindrical cells, they're little wafers. But yeah, little thing, it was a period of about 10 minutes from when I thought I saw something, and I looked, and that's when I noticed the battery was a different shape. It was a little thicker, and I watched it getting thicker, and then it, in a period of about 10 minutes, it was burning on fire. Battery too. I want to think it was like 200 milliamp, little bitty thing.
And lithium polymer cells have that property where they can, you know, just run away and sustain their own fire. And you can't really put, you know, the only way you can put them out is to cool them down. You know, it's not really putting water on it that puts it out, it's just getting the temperature down. So lithium iron phosphate doesn't have that problem. The energy density is a little less, but you don't have this capability of sustaining its own reaction. So that's why you know, anything in an RV or inside a house is going to be lithium iron phosphate, because you don't have that fire risk.
Isn't that what they're running in the thousands of them? What are they, 18 or 16 850s or something, or 18 650s or something?
Plenty is just a size, and you can get both lithium ion and lithium iron phosphate batteries in an 18650 cell. So, you know, that's just the size format.
Cylindrical part you were talking about, you know, similar to a big AA.
50 is 18 millimeters in diameter and 65 millimeters long. So that's how those numbers decode. And a lot of, you know, recently they're dropping that last zero just to make it a little bit less confusing. So it'd be an 1865. Then you have like a 2170 that's, you know, 21 millimeters in diameter and 70 millimeters long. And some of the newer tool batteries are using those because they can supply higher current. So, you know, a lot of our new batteries are 2170s as well. So it's going in that direction quite a bit.
Thank you.
capacity of the battery, the 2170 can provide a higher current. So, you know, it just depends on how the manufacturer of the cell rates it. But overall, you can get more current relative to the capacity out of 2170. And some of our newer stuff, you know, we have these tablet cells, too, which are insane. They can do, like, 50, 60 C with no problem at all. So, yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Use 1C, right?
Other than that.
As safely you can. I have to be careful how I thought I did, not to charge them past 1.
Type of cell it is. If it's an energy cell, then they should be charged slower. But if it's a power cell, you can definitely charge them faster. It just, you know, how they arrange the structure of the battery. You know, you can get a higher energy density in a power in an energy cell, but you can get higher power out of a power cell. It's just depending on, you know, how much current you can charge and discharge with.
Band. I understand. N4A's Eddie.
You're going to be using power cells that are designed for high current. So, because some of these power tools are pretty demanding. I think I've seen a miter saw. We made this miter saw. I can't remember if it was a miter saw or a table saw that took two batteries because it wanted over 100 amps at full load. So now we've got a single battery that can do that. But yeah, it's pretty crazy how much power some of these power tools can need.
I've got a skill saw, and it uses the 20 volt. I use a 6 amp battery in it, but it doesn't last a long time. You know, it is not near as long as the impact or the drills will. It's got some draw to it.
That miter saw, table saw, they can all drain a lot of current when they're under load.
I've talked to different people. Why didn't you get Milwaukee? Or why didn't you get DeWalt? Or why didn't you get Ryobi? I said, well, the first thing I bought was, I just bought a drill. I needed a drill. So I bought one, and it came with a battery and a charger. And it was 20 volt. I said, okay, I'll use that. And then next thing I know, they come out with that. I said, well, you're stuck. You already got a battery and you already got a charger. So there you go. Like a snowball effect.
Black Friday is always the drill kit that's the cheapest one.
I stuck with, I said, well, I already got the battery, so I may as well, and you can buy the tools, you know, with no batteries, you can buy the tool. I got like a little leaf blower Vicky wanted. It works good, too, and I got that for her. It didn't have a battery. It was like $99. I said, well, I don't have to buy the battery and a charger, because with the battery and charger, it's like $300. So then, so you're kind of in that rut, and then you say, well, I guess I need to get another battery.
But, you know, I went to work for the company, so that's, you know, I get stuff, you know, just from around the office. I can grab things, so that's usually helpful. But, yeah, I definitely understand the buy-in. You know, like once you get that first tool and battery kit, you're kind of married to the platform.
Happy ride, start spreading.
Way to put it, WTJKT.
You know, if it had been Ryobi, I'd have everything all Ryobi, because that's how it would have worked out.
I didn't get any of that. I'm in the black hole here at Woodruff Road. I'll be back in like 2 minutes. I'll be at TJKT.
My bad. At some point, it's probably just going to fizzle.
I don't know, but, yeah. Kind of like they were saying, though, while it's still fairly new, I'd, you know, seriously consider, I mean, you know, getting in touch with Amazon. I've done that with stuff they sent me that I had issues with. I'd call them, and they'd send me a label, you know, to put on the box, and, you know, I'd have to, you know, take it to, a UPS store or something, but it was worth it to get my money back.
It was new, so in the meantime, I'll order something else, and I'd say even if they give me another one, I'm probably going to run into the same thing. Who's this thing made by? It's made by a Pyramid.
I had several things by Pyramid, and I finally sometimes I'd pick it up at the flea market, and it'd be dirt cheap, but then, you know, it wouldn't last very long, and I didn't have the technical ability to go in there and totally rebuild it, so it's kind of like some of the stuff from Harbor Freight, you know, you just hand tools, they're decent enough, but I had one of their drills, the battery almost catch fire in the charger, so some of the electrical stuff you kind of got to be a little wary of.
Strick, are you still out there? About somewhere.
I've been fixing to get to his first stop a while ago. I'll be, you know, talking to somebody about some tools.
Six, isn't it?
After six, I think probably most of them made it to work.
Waiting on my darn generator. You know, I ordered that house generator, and they said it'd be 6 weeks, I think. I don't remember when I ordered that thing.
When bought one, direct tool outlet. You know, you're talking about Ryobi. I got pretty much everything Ryobi. Anyway, I went and bought one there during the power outage, but I've got a solar one coming that is supposed to be here around Christmas. We'll see if it actually makes it. KF4NXY.
Christmas present. M4AZE.
Pretty much. It was one of them Black Friday deals. It was half price. I just couldn't resist it. And I told the wife, I said, I'm going to have to get off the cell phone. I've been spending $800.
You know, I went, we had the power outage for a week. I went to, I was going to cut down some trees. I went to Lowe's. Wasn't a chainsaw available. I was going to just buy one because my other ones, I got two of them over here and they've been sitting forever, wouldn't crank. So couldn't buy one. So I had to bring the chainsaw to cut trees up. Had to take carburetors off and take them apart and clean them real good. They were gummed up from sitting so long. And the generator was the same way. I had to take carburetor off it, take it all apart, clean it up. And letting that stuff sit with gasoline in them. And I went through carburetors cleaning and stuff.
About that earlier this morning. I got one like that I'm not too good with carburetors, so I'm going to take it to somebody and get it cleaned up, get it running again, because it's a real good generator, and it's a shame just to, you know, let it sit. I'm going to run some gas through it, and then be sure that next time I cut it off, I'm going to run the gas through the carburetor and out the carburetor and be sure there's none sitting in the carburetor when I put it up.
Yeah, I got a generator that's a few years old. I need to get it looked at because it just drinks gas. We had the power outage for Helen that it only ran about as half as long as it was supposed to. So need to get that looked at. But I've got another generator that runs on propane, which is just excellent because you never have to worry about the carb.
The one that I've got coming is going to run off of natural gas. These carbureted ones, yeah, I took the generator this time and I let it run out of gas, and then I put some of the... I bought it. It's ethanol-free gas, and I ran a little bit through there, then emptied the carburetor, so hopefully it'll stay. It takes a couple of carburetors, nothing. You get the carburetor off, and when you get it apart, there's really nothing to them. It's just a float, needle seats. The orifice is what happens. All the little orifices get they're so tiny, they get clogged up, and you got to make sure you get those cleaned out, and they get to working good. And I've never heard of one drinking too much gas unless your butterfly's not completely open and may on the choke end or something. It'll still run, but it'll drink a lot of gas that way.
say, I mean, you can definitely smell that it's running really rich, so, you know, maybe that could be it. Maybe the butterfly's not opening all the way, and it's just, you know, super rich and just, you know, using too much, but I got to get it all apart and see if I can see what's going on in there. Maybe, you know, it's sat for a long time with gas in it, and it probably just needs to be cleaned out real good. So, you know, I'm pretty good about taking it out once a month and letting it run for half an hour just to get fresh gas through the carb to keep it from gumming up. But, you know, maybe I just need to take it all apart and get some carb cleaner in it.
It probably works. I run mine every 2 weeks. I fire up the chainsaws and both generators now just to do it, which I didn't used to do. But I know it could be your little needling seat, too, could be a little bit slightly gummy, and if it's not completely sealing when it says full, you may be flooding out that way.
Fresh gas in it with some carb cleaner or something, and you know, run that through and see if that helps it out a little bit, because you know, it's like I said, it's been sitting, you know, for years, and made the mistake of keeping gas in it and just trying to run it once a month. But you're right, it could be a little gummy in there.
The air filter off and look and make sure that the choke butterfly is fully open. Because if it's slightly closed, there's your gas mileage.
I mean, I could probably spray some cleaner in there, too, and see if that helps.
Trouble taking all off. It takes me a couple hours minimum to time you get it all apart. You got to get the tools, you know, you back and forth. I need this screwdriver. I need this wrench, you know. And you tie up a couple hours or so just from that. The time you crank it, you know.
This is one of those inverters, too, so it's got a completely enclosed housing with baffling and sound insulation and all this other stuff. And, you know, I had to replace the plug on it a couple of years ago because it wouldn't start, and the plug was all fouled up, so that's another indication I'm running real rich. But, yeah, just even getting to the plug on it took some doing. So if I can avoid taking the whole thing out and getting it apart, that's always a good thing.
Carburetor cleaner is a good idea. I'm going to tell you, the best carburetor cleaner I've found so far is O'Reilly's. I've tried all the other ones, and they're not strong. But the O'Reilly's carburetor, I don't know what it's got in it. But if you get it on your hands, you better wipe it off. It'll start burning the webs between your fingers. That stuff is strong.
He's in town, so maybe I'll swing by this afternoon on my way home and pick up a can of it, because... Helen, you know, luckily I had plenty of power from batteries during Helen. It was so funny because, you know, we had about 36 hours without power, and I was just running the fridge and the coffee maker and the hot water heater and stuff off of tool batteries. And I was just outside setting up the generator to run some battery chargers when the power came back on. So didn't get to use my generators at all, but yeah, I definitely need to do some maintenance so I have it ready for anything that might happen in the future.
If you do go to rallies, get the brake cleaner. Don't get the carburetor cleaner. Get the brake cleaner.
For a lot of things, like cleaning bicycle parts and stuff, drive, you know, chains and derailleurs and stuff, brake cleaner is really good for cleaning that stuff, too.
But I don't know what's in it, but it is so strong. I'll take it like these little motors I mess with, the piston seized up or whatever. I take WD-40 and then take the brake cleaner and mix the two together. It thins it out, and man, it penetrates great. Because WD-40 by itself, it penetrates, but not when you mix that brake cleaner with it. Man, that stuff goes anywhere.
Cleaner will get out any kind of gums or stuff that's stuck in the places where the WD-40 needs to go. So yeah, definitely a good combination.
Model airplane engine, a little O-49, it was frozen, and I soaked it in WD, and it just wouldn't come loose. I soaked it overnight, and so I tried the brake cleaner, the brake cleaner in there, about 25% thereabouts. Just sprayed some in there, stirred up, and soaked it another few hours, and finally got it loose that way. But yeah, if you could get that, you know, it's flammable, it'll run. You could get that brake cleaner somehow down in your bowl. If you had to disconnect the fuel line and run some down and get the bowl filled up with it and let it sit for a little while, then hook it back up to the gas and run it out, I bet you'd clean that. But if it is a needle and seat, you'd clean it.
I'll definitely give that a try because, you know, it's a good generator. It's a 20, I think a 2,600 watt gas generator, and you know, like I said, I bought it back for Hurricane Matthew back in 2017 or 18 or 19 or whenever that was, when I lived in Seneca, and you know, it's a great generator, but you know, I don't get to use it often enough to really keep it clean, so I'll give that a shot.